Welcome, everyone, to the June 21st, 2022 regular meeting of the Santa Clarita Valley Water Agency Board of Directors. And with that, I would like to call the meeting to order and move on to item two and ask Vice President Ozahosky if he would kindly lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance tonight.
It'll be my pleasure. Please all rise, place your right hand over your heart, and repeat after me.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Vice President Ozahosky. Now for our announcements for tonight's meeting. This meeting is being conducted in person at the Rio Vista Water Treatment Plant Boardroom. As a convenience to the public, members of the public may also participate virtually by logging into the agency's Zoom meeting. Any member of the public may listen to the meeting or make comments to the board using the call-in number or Zoom webinar link. In the event there is a disruption of service which prevents the agency from broadcasting the meeting to members of the public using either the call-in option or the internet-based service, this meeting will not be postponed or rescheduled, but will continue without remote participation. The remote participation option is provided as a convenience to the public and is not required. Members of the public are welcome to attend the meeting in person. A reminder to those presenting online, please mute all of your devices until you are ready to speak. Make sure you unmute when speaking and remute when you are done speaking. Please turn on your camera while presenting and turn them off when your item is complete. Members of the public may comment as to items within the subject matter jurisdiction of the agency that are not on the agenda during item three. Members of the public wishing to comment on items covered in the agenda may do so at the time each item is considered. Members of the public wishing to comment on items covered in closed session before they are considered by the board must request to make the comment at the commencement of the meeting at 6 p.m. To participate in public comment from your computer, tablet, or smartphone, when I announce the agenda item you wish to speak on, click the raise hand feature in Zoom. You will be notified when it is your turn to speak. Please unmute when requested. To participate in public comment via phone, when I announce the agenda item you wish to speak on, dial star 9 to raise your hand. When it is your turn to speak, dial star 6 to unmute. And we do have a number of members of the public present, so I will remind the public that are attending in person that there are public comment cards on the table outside. Please complete and return to the board secretary to help expedite public comments. The procedure for tonight's meetings are as follows. I will introduce each agenda item. Staff will present. I will ask for public comments. I will then ask for discussion and questions from board members. Please raise your hand. Once concluded, I will ask for a motion and a second. After any further discussion, the board secretary will call for roll call votes. All directors are present for tonight's meeting, except Directors Colley and Gutzeit as of now. All right. We now can continue the meeting. We move on to item three, public comment. Members of the public may comment as to items within the subject matter jurisdiction of the agency that are not on the agenda at this time. Again, we ask that members of the public wishing to comment on items covered in this agenda do so at the time each item is considered. I do not see any public comment cards, Madam Secretary.
President Martin, there is one that I just set on your spot for Ms. Noteweyer.
Oh, I'm glad it wasn't a snake. All right, we do have a public comment card from Ms. Noteweyer. Ms. Noteweyer, if you come forward to the podium and make your public comment, please.
Cam Noteweyer, yet I want to just comment about, it was on your last agenda on June 20th, and it came up with the debt service, just how much debt we are in. yet you spend money like there is no debt. But the as of April 30th, 2000, I do better without these, 22, it's $280,289,218 with annual debt service of $32,917,555. Now that's a lot for the ratepayers to be carrying just because of why. I can't understand why you can spend millions and millions of dollars on other things, yet you never pay this off. You want us to continue year after year. And I have been with this ever since this, whatever you want to call it, was formed. And it just seems to get worse every year. And the reason for this is even more disturbing. It does not the outstanding principal and annual debt service payments shown in the graph below consist of the current outstanding debt and associated payments. It does not include potential future debt, which may be approved and issued to particularly to fund construction projects. Now, are you going to bring them before the public and say, do you want us to pay this? I don't see that. I don't know how you're functioning. I used to be able to track it a little bit, but lately it is just, there's so many on the board and it has gotten so complex. And I doubt if many of you even know the huge debt you're putting us under. We're the ones sitting and paying for that. And then you want to do it for construction projects? What kind of construction projects qualify for all of us have to pay for them? The more and more I see of this, what I call this huge board that we've have now. And it's my understanding that
thank you, Ms. Noltmeyer.
Very soon
public comment.
It will have to be down to 9. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Noltmeyer. April, do we have any public comments from those attending online, including requests to public comment on closed session?
We do not.
We can move on to item 4, approval of the agenda. Are there any changes, additions, or modifications to the agenda? Jerry? Oh, don't do it. Okay. Seeing none, the agenda is hereby approved. We can move on to item 5, approval of the consent calendar. You will see in the agenda we have 3 items on the consent calendar. Items 5.1, 5.2, and 5.3. I would entertain a motion for approval of the consent calendar.
So moved, Director Ford.
Motion by Director Ford.
Second, Ozofsky.
Second by Vice President Ozahowski. Before we go to your question, Director Armitage, do we have any public comment on the consent calendar, April?
We do not.
Director Armitage, go ahead.
Thank you. I don't have a question. It's just a very brief complimentary comment. I just want to note that for item 5.2, which is approval for the purchase of a portable booster pump, that it was noted in the memo that there is an effort being made to purchase pumps that are quieter to be respectful of people in the neighboring communities. And I just want to say a big thank you to the agency for being considerate of the noise levels for the people in the communities. Our neighbors and fellow community members surely appreciate that. So thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Director Armitage. So we have a motion and a second. Do we have any other discussion or questions or comments from the board? With that, Madam Secretary, would you please call the roll?
Director Armitage, how do you vote?
Yes.
Director Cooper?
Yes.
Director Planbeck?
Yes.
Director Atkins?
Yes.
Director Ford?
Yes.
Director Bronstein?
Yes.
Director Kelly?
Yes.
Vice President Ozerhofsky?
Yes.
Vice President Gladbach?
Yes.
President Martin?
Yes.
Thank you. The consent calendar is approved, and those include resolution numbers SCV-280, SCV-281, SCV-282, and SCV-283.
Thank you, Board. We can move on to item six, action items for approval. Actually, it's singular. There's only one action item for approval tonight, 6.1, which is approve a resolution authorizing the general manager to apply for funding from the Bureau of Reclamation Water Smart Drought Response Program and accept and execute a grant agreement for the S-Wells PFAS treatment and disinfection facility. Our presenter tonight is Orlando Marino, but Mr. Cole, as our presiding assistant general manager tonight, would you like to make any opening remarks before we go to Orlando's presentation?
No, we can hop right into Orlando's presentation. Just say, as with all of these, and I'm sure Orlando will mention it, this is a team effort, involves a lot of staff. It takes some quick turnaround. So just want to thank everybody in advance. I'm sure Orlando will do the same.
Very good. Thank you. Orlando, proceed.
Thank you, President Martin. Can everyone hear me?
Yes, we can.
Good. Thank you. Good evening, board members. First of all, I have to apologize. I'm just getting over a cold. So if I sound like a character from Star Wars, I really, really appreciate, apologize. But I wanted to be in front of you guys to present this project because we're very proud of it. And the grant funding aspect of it as well. So my name is Orlando Moreno. I'm a senior engineer and project manager of the S-Wells PFAS project. As President Martin mentioned, I'm here tonight to request your approval of a resolution authorizing our general manager and staff to apply for grant funding of the S-Wells PFAS project. Staff has been working very, very diligently, very hard in search of and in pursuit of various grant funding opportunities throughout the country for projects like this PFAS treatment project. If awarded, these grants are just a great source of funding that will help our agency offset a significant amount of design and construction costs for many of our upcoming capital projects. So we hope that we can come before you much more frequently with these similar requests here in the near future as we start to construct more of these PFAS projects and more capital projects for our agency. Next slide, please, April. Okay, so before I discuss the grant program, I want to give you a little introduction to the S-Wells treatment facility project. We currently operate three wells called the S6, S7, and S8 well. They're located just north of the Santa Clara River, about southeast of McBean and Newhall Ranch Road in the Bridgeport community. Each of the wells is permitted to a capacity of 2,000 GPM with a total permitted capacity of 6,000 GPM for all three wells. The three wells were taken offline due to detection of PFAS that exceeded the state's response levels. S6 has been offline since December of 2019, and S7, S8 have been offline since March of 2020. Over the past year, staff has been working on feasibility studies and preliminary designs for treatment of these wells to remove the PFAS contaminants. The treatment facility shown here in yellow is proposed to be located in an undeveloped area just east of these existing wells between Bridgeport Park to the north and the bike trail there off of the Santa Clara River. So it's a city-owned property that we are hoping to acquire for this treatment facility. Next slide, please, April. Thank you. So in this image, we take a zoomed in view of the proposed treatment facility. This illustrates our preliminary site plan. You see the water would be coming into the facility on the left side there. entering our pre-filters in blue. And then it goes into our ion exchange vessels above. These are above ground vessels shown in green. These vessels are filled with resin and they remove or filter out the PFAS contaminants. We also intend to build a disinfection building on site shown here in orange. And so we would be generating our own chlorine on site and then also have our liquid ammonium sulfate on site that would be injected into our treated water before it gets discharged to the north. That water would ultimately connect to our Valencia distribution system for customer consumption. We also are anticipating constructing a future well here called the S9, shown here in yellow. This well is not included in this grant application since the well is expected to be paid for by the Vista Canyon developer as part of the Mitchell 5A well replacement project. That new well is expected to contain PFAS, unfortunately, and we will be treating it on site. But the cost for PFAS treatment for that particular well, we're hoping to get additional grant funding for that component of the project. So we're working to see where we can get some additional funding for that. Next slide, please. Okay, so moving on to the grant itself, the U.S. Department of Interior's Bureau of Reclamation released a grant funding opportunity as part of their what they call the Water Smarts Drought Response Program. And that program provides financial assistance for projects that will increase water supply reliability and improve water delivery during drought periods. So PFAS treatment type projects are eligible under what they call their Drought Resiliency Project Category A classification. And so the grant opportunity is competitive and the Bureau expects between 15 and 21 projects will be awarded funding here. So this resolution that's included in your agenda package requires approval from you tonight so that we can complete our application process with the Bureau. Next slide, please. So the grant program itself offers three funding options as shown here on the slide. We applied for what's called the Group 3 funding option, which provides up to $5 million for projects that can be completed in 3 years. The grant will require a 50% matching contribution from SED Water and up to the balance of funds that are needed to complete construction of the project. Right now, we're estimating that the total project cost is $16 million, with approximately $1.3 million going to engineering and design costs, approximately $14.7 million going to construction and construction support related services. If awarded, the grant funding would offset $5 million in project costs for us. So this is a big one for us. We've allocated monies in our 22-23 or fiscal year 22-23 and 23-24 CIP budgets for engineering and design costs. And then monies will be allocated for construction costs and construction support services in our fiscal year 24-25 and 25-26 CIP budgets. Now I should note, we are currently working with the State Water Resources Control Board in obtaining a very low interest loan to pay for this the S-Wells project as part of the LARC incentive program. And that funding can be used as a source of matching for this grant application. Next slide, please. So on schedule, staff, as Steve mentioned, they did just a tremendous job of putting this application together last minute. And it really took a group effort to get this done, led by Cheryl Fowler, who did just a tremendous job of keeping this in line there. So thanks, Cheryl. But we got the application in on June 15th. The resolution before you tonight must be approved by July 15th as a requirement of application acceptance. And then we expect to receive notice of the grant, hopefully a yes, by March of next year. The grant project completion deadline is March 31st of 2026. And we feel that we can meet that schedule. So in order to meet that deadline, we would need to complete CEQA by the end of this year complete final design by April of 2024, and then have construction completed by December of 2025. Those are our target dates right now. Next slide, please. So to conclude my presentation, we're requesting that the Board of Directors adopt the attached resolution authorizing the General Manager to apply for funding under the Bureau of Reclamation Water Smart's Drought Response Program, or DRP, and accept and execute a grant agreement for the S-Wells PFAS treatment and disinfection facility. Next slide, please.
Thank you, Orlando, for your presentation. Excellent. Madam Secretary, do we have any public comment on the presentation?
We do. Just one moment.
We do not?
We do. Just one moment.
Okay.
Ms. Noltmeyer, please hit star six and you may begin your public comment. Oh, Ms. Dunn, I'm so sorry. Ms. Dunn, please hit star six. You may begin your public comment.
Okay. good afternoon, or good evening, actually. I want to know on this, why didn't you also apply for funding to address the recycled water issue? We need recycled water in all the medians and parks in the city of Santa Clarita. This drought makes this point all too important. And you're going to hear me complaining about this for until I start seeing this happening, because I know that it's out there. The state years ago was mandated that if you had this water, that you should be serving it. And it seems like it is so slow, and the mandate was so many years ago, and it's not happening. So you're going to hear me all the time talking about it, because I want to see it happening. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Dunn. There is no further public comment.
Thank you very much. We can now open it up for board discussion, questions, or perhaps even a motion. Director Planbeck.
Yes, I'm just wondering how you can apply for a grant if the city hasn't given you permission to use the land yet. Or is this like you're sure it's going to happen or something like that?
Yeah, it's really just an application to be able to get the grant funding. Director Planbeck, we have been in contact with the city for the past year and a half, and there's been several discussions as far as their support for the project. I think even they've expressed a willingness to at least lease that property to us. Those discussions are still ongoing. I think we're in a stage where we feel like after a year and a half of discussions with the city, I think we could certainly pursue funding like this for this particular project.
And that's also a fairly sensitive area of the river. Were you planning on doing an exemption or a mitigated negative deck, or what are you planning for CEQA?
Yeah, no, definitely. We do have a CEQA consultant on board. They're working on the CEQA documentation now. They just started that. We're probably looking at an M&D. That this will not be an exemption. You're definitely right. We're next to the Santa Clara River. There's going to be some potential impacts there that we would have to mitigate for.
And also, I always get confused when people say well capacity instead of how much is actually being pumped out of those wells. And I guess, I don't know, I was looking at the records and it doesn't look like they were turned off for PFAS. Are they blending them?
No, I don't believe they're blending them. I think they've been off since I think it was 2019.
Okay, well, maybe I'm looking at some old records because it does show that it's that they're producing. But and weren't those, I know somebody explained this to me once, but I don't recall the entire answer. Wasn't one of those wells filling up the lake?
I don't believe so, Director Planbeck. I don't know if maybe Keith, if Keith is on this call, he could chime in on that. I haven't heard that myself personally.
Well, I think those are the wells. One of those wells is where the lake gets its water.
Oh, you're talking about Bridgeport Lake?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't believe so. I don't believe these directly feed into that lake.
Mr. Mayo, did you want to weigh in on this?
Yeah, I just wanted to also clarify that this is the grant application. So similar to the question on the CEQA, the negotiation with the city, if we do get the grant and for some reason are unable to acquire the land or unable to secure CEQA, if there are mitigation measures that are beyond our control, then we would not be able to accept it. But without applying, we have no opportunity. So
Okay. Those
are still factors. They are still going to be at play, and we still have the option to back out of doing the project at this location if it becomes necessary.
Okay, well, I guess these other questions are for Mr. Abercrombie, and maybe I can ask him at another time.
Or we can respond to you. We'll follow up with Keith and then send you a response.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Vice President Gladbach.
Thank you, Orlando and Courtney. First of all, I just want to thank Congress for funding Bureau of Reclamation much better this year for this year than they have in the past. And as a result of that, it's trickled down to WaterSmart. And I really appreciate staff, all staff across the board, working hard to make this application go through. And I know it's not an easy task. And Orlando, I think you pointed out the short time frame you had. And that, to me, shows the willingness of the team stepping up and working hard to get it accomplished. So commend staff for doing that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vice President Gladbach. Vice President Ozahowski.
Mr. Moreno, a great presentation as always. Thank you and your team. I'm looking at the site plan. And looks like we're going to have 8 treatment vessels. For the future S9 well, will those treatment vessels accommodate the S9 when it becomes completed? And or we'll have to add an additional vessel for treatment?
No, those 4 trains of vessels will take care of contamination from S9. So,
and that includes the pre-filters and everything involved with the
building. Yes, sir. So we want to design this to ultimate build out. And we will probably not build the last set of trains. We might be able to get away from building that additional pre-filter. We have to still look at that in final design. And then once S9 goes in, then we can install the components for that particular well as needed.
Thank you. Back to you, President Martin.
Director Cooper.
Thank you, President Martin. And Orlando, thank you for a very good presentation. And the work that engineering and your teams have done on this is really appreciated. PFAS is becoming a bigger and bigger item. And I'm glad that we're ahead of the curve, that we're getting these things put in. We're going to have to treat for it one way or another. And getting an extra $5 million to help us do that is very much appreciated. So good job to Cheryl, as usual. And let's keep the grants going. It's well needed. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Cooper. Director Bronstein.
First of all, I want to thank everybody for the maps. I know now exactly where it is, so thank you. And aside from that, I'm looking forward to the final design to understand exactly. I mean, now that I know where it is exactly, I share concerns a little bit with with Director Planbeck about making sure that this is safe and all that stuff, but it's down the line. I get it. And I look forward to the final designs.
Director Armitage.
Thank you. So I agree with what pretty much everyone has said. I feel like the funding for this project is necessary to keep our drinking water safe and our distribution system, but it is very expensive. So assuming the project won't have a significant ecological impact, as Director Plumbeck brought up, I would be supportive. And I, too, am thankful to all the team members who found this grant opportunity and are working on the grant application, namely Ms. Fowler. Thank you. And then just to piggyback on the question that Vice President Ozohofsky had, so you did mention, Mr. Moreno, that the S9 well is expected to have PFAS and that there will be a cost to treat that. So I'm wondering, how significant is that cost, given the answer to your question to Vice President Ozohofsky about being able to connect into this treatment facility that this project would build?
Are you talking just initial construction cost, Director Armitage?
Not necessarily. I mean, just in general. Because you made it sound like there was going to be a significant cost to treat S9, but I'm wondering why that would be if we're able to tap into the existing facility that this project would create.
Yeah, it wouldn't. It's not going to be, in the grand scheme of things, it would not be a significant additional cost to bring in treatment for that S9 well. That S9 well is it's designed or it's permitted capacity would be 1,000 gallons per minute versus the 6,000 that are being generated by S6, S7, S8. And so the cost increase to treat that contaminant from that particular well shouldn't be that much more. And so it will likely, you know, and obviously this will have to be designed in final engineering, but it will likely require us to put two additional vessels out there, which we would already have piping plumbed for the future.
Great. So, thank you. I appreciate that answer. And thank you for your presentation. And thank you for the well-written memo to Chief Engineer, Mr. Mail.
Mr. Murray, I have another.
Director Plumbeck.
Oh, it's not turned off. Good. Mr. Moreno, twice now you said the capacity of the wells totals 6,000, but how much are they actually pumping? Because what they can pump and what they do pump are two different things. And have there been any, additionally, here's another question. In the last drought, those wells all hit bottom lowest they've ever pumped, which I should go back and look and see if they were even able to pump at that point. But if you add another well there, is that really an efficient place to put it? I guess is what I'm asking, because I don't see, you may get the groundwater level so low that you affect the other wells.
Yeah.
Is that being looked at? But also please tell me about how much they pump, not how much the capacity to pump is, because those are two really different things.
Sure. So the answer to the first question is, it's much less than the 2,000. You're absolutely right. That's our permitted capacity. And it just depends on our demands for any particular year. But I've seen numbers within the 1,500, 900 range, 1,000 range per pump or per well. But I'd have to go back and look at the history. I can certainly gather that data for you, Director Plumbeck. And I can provide that to you.
Yeah, I just get concerned when everybody talks about capacity, when you know really that capacity and what you get out of the well is not the same thing.
Sure.
And although I hope that there's going to be some cost analysis about, is that the cheapest way to go for a new well? Is that the best place?
Yeah, to answer the second question, we've hired a hydrogeologist to look out there and look at you know, what the water levels, what the existing water levels, whether they would drop by adding this S9 well. And I think the results were it would drop 3 feet next to the S8 well, which is adjacent to it. So it's not significant. We've looked at about seven other site locations along the river, and all of them have been just extremely expensive. And there's been a significant impact to riparian habitat if we decided to pick those other locations. So we decided to pick this location because it's away from the river. It's an open space area. They're right next to our three wells that we can just connect to, a few hundred feet away. So that's kind of the reason why we decided to go with this site.
Oh, sorry, you're thinking of putting it in the park then?
No, it's just south of the park. So if you're driving down that street.
I see where I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I'm trying to save you some time. Is it next to the disinfection facility? Because I'm looking at this map.
No, it's in the disinfection facility. The new well would be located in that facility itself. So it would be within those walls.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Director Cooper. I'd like to make a motion to accept staff's recommendation.
Thank you. We have a motion on the floor. Do we have a second?
Director Bronstein seconds. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, I also echo the board comments appreciation of the staff's efforts to get these grants. It's a big accomplishment. It knocks off a large part of the cost. It's quite a good service to our ratepayers, and I appreciate all your efforts to do that. So with that, we have a motion and a second. Madam Secretary, will you please call the roll?
As I call your name, please state how you vote. Director Kelly?
Yes.
Director Atkins?
Yes.
Director Plambeck?
Yes.
Director Armitage?
Yes.
Director Ford?
Yes.
Director Cooper?
Yes.
Director Bronstein?
Yes.
Vice President Gladbach? Vice President Ozohowski?
Yes.
President Martin?
Yes.
Thank you. This item passes, and that's resolution number SCV-284.
Thank you, Board, and thank you, Orlando, for fielding all of the many questions that were put to you tonight. Did a wonderful job. Thank you.
My pleasure.
All right, we can move on to item 7, General Manager's Report on Activities, Projects, and Programs. Mr. Cole, you're up.
Thank you, President Martin. I'll keep it brief tonight. We have quite a few closed session items that we're going to get to, and those are going to be, I think, a little bit lengthy. So I'll keep it brief. Those of you that attended the Finance Committee meeting last night, you would have heard a report from Chief Financial Officer Eric Campbell on our Fitch ratings news. So I wanted to make sure that the full board had a chance to hear that. Fitch ratings did go through a recent analysis of our financial position as an agency, and they made the choice to upgrade our ratings based upon that information. So basically the recognition of our strong financial position has allowed us to move depending on which series of debt financing that you look at, from a double A to double A plus and a double A minus to double AA. So as you probably are all aware, having good ratings are really important for an agency like ours. Anytime that we go out and look for financing, improved financing, that factors into what we actually pay for money. So really happy with the team, the finance team. I think it's a recognition of a lot of effort that has gone in, and wanted to report that to the board. And that's all I had for you tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Cole. Yes, and we appreciated hearing that report last night. It's an excellent thing for our ratepayers and our community. So we certainly appreciate the effort by the finance team and the management team to get us to this level with the Fitch rating. So thank you for that.
We can now
Do we have any public comment on Mr. Cole's report?
We do not.
Do we have any questions or comments from the board on Mr. Cole's report? Seeing none, we can move on to item 8, committee meeting recap report for informational purposes only. There is only one report in your packet. Happens to be on the Engineering and Operations Committee. Do we have any questions or comments from the board on the committee report? We have any public comment, April, on the committee report?
We do not.
Very good. We can move on to item 9, the president's report. I'd like to update the board on a few items. Under the category of outside the agency conferences and events, the VIA 5th State of the State event will be on July 7th at 11:30 a.m. at the Hyatt Regency. The VIA Cocktails and Conversation evening with the Honorable Mike Garcia on July 25th at the El Trocadero in Newhall from 6 to 8 p.m. You can, if you attend, you can take that opportunity to thank the congressman for his efforts to provide funding for our work. The 2022 Economic Outlook will be on September 9th at the College of the Canyon Performing Arts Center. And the VIA Bash will be on November 4th at 6 p.m. at Hyatt Regency Valencia. Upcoming regular board meetings, we do have a regular board meeting on July 5th and July 19th. Both will start at 6 p.m. right here in the Rio Vista boardroom. Upcoming committee meetings for the month of July will be held at Summit Circle and at the ESSS boardroom. The July 7th 2022 Engineering and Operations Committee, July 7th at 5:30. The July 13th, the Water Resources and Watershed Committee meeting at 5:30, and July 21st, the Public Outreach and Legislation Committee meeting also at 5:30. Upcoming committee meetings for the month of July will be held at the Rio Vista Water Treatment Plant Boardroom. The July 18th, 2022 Finance and Administration Committee will be at 5:30. There are some additional meetings that I need to update you on. There will be a special SCV-GSA board meeting on June 30th at 2:30 right here in the boardroom. For those on the SCV Water Financing Corporation, which is myself, Vice President Gladback, Directors Cooper, and Vice President Ozohosky, as well as Executive Director Matt Stone, who is not here this evening, there will be a meeting tonight that will be following the regular board meeting. Dial-in information for this meeting is the same as tonight's regular meeting, but those members of the board who will be attending the Financing Corporation meeting, please do not leave and go home before that meeting is started and concluded. And with that, that concludes the president's report. Do we have any public comment, April, on that?
We do not.
Any questions from the board on the report? Seeing none, we can move on to item 10, AB 1234 reports. There was one AB 1234 report that was included in your packet and two additional reports that were posted to the website and email. Does anyone have an additional AB 1234 report tonight? And before I entertain other reports, I just want to thank Director Bronstein for her excellent report on the AQUA conference. I found it a good read, so I recommend it. Vice President Gladbach.
Yes, I'd like to report on JPIA meetings. We had 3 days of strategic planning last week, and it was more of a knowing what's happening in the world. Today, the executive committee met. Well, yesterday, program committees met, really struggled with what to do with rates. Today, the executive committee approved workers' compensation at no increase in rate, and it goes downhill from here. The property program is going up 20%. In the last 5 years, the excess insurance carriers have paid out $4 million more than what they have received from us. And so they're going to have a way of getting that back. But JPI Smart, they've got a lot of money. And so instead of paying millions of dollars to excess carriers, JPI will self-insure up to $10 million from $1 million. And even with 10% increase, there's still going to be $1 million in the red. But we felt that to make it zero was 25%. We felt that was not prudent at this time. The excess insurance is still going to cost $7.85 million. On the worst note is cybersecurity insurance. In the past, cyber and continues to be cyber has been attached to the liability program. And most agencies don't even realize probably that they're getting it or what has cost them more. 2 years ago, we paid $135,000 for excess insurance. Last year, it went to $925,000. This year, it went to $1.2 million. And with that, anyone that wants to be insured currently, I mean, in the next program year starting July 1, they're going to have to fill out the application form, which is many pages, very difficult. Only, 40% of the members have not filled that out to date. And so we've been working hard with other members to try and get them, help them get that filled out. Otherwise, they won't have insurance. Next year, the rates will probably go up a lot more. And in addition to you have to have that application in, is that every agency, and Jonathan, I'm not sure this is the right words or other techie guys, but you got to have a multifaceted authentication. And without that, you will not be insured. JPI is looking at setting up a separate program for cybersecurity insurance, just like we have workers' comp, health benefits, property. And we gave direction today to staff to go ahead and proceed with that. And a year from now, be ready to pull the plug if indeed the rates that the insurance companies are going to charge us is exorbitant. So it's another case where JPI really cares about its members. It's like a family. Everybody takes care of everybody else and watches the needs. And we're really concerned with those 40% of the people, agencies who have not filled out that application. And I don't know who filled it out here. It probably took several people from different organizations to do that. It is not an easy task. And for small agencies, I shudder to think of what they have to go through. So with that, that concludes my report.
Thank you, Vice President Glaback, and thank you for your continued leadership on the JPIA side. Are there any other AB 1234s? Director Bronstein.
I totally forgot about this one. I wasn't planning on, I don't know if we paid for it, or I wasn't planning on asking for a stipend for it. But I attended on June 15th, the Delta Conveyance updated EIR briefing, and it was extremely informative. Whether I agree with the project or not, I love to gather information, and I think the more knowledge you have, the better you can judge things. And I thought it was a very informative discussion.
Thank you. Any other Director Atkins?
Yes, on the 15th of June, I attended a virtual roundtable on federal funding put on by AQUA Washington, D.C. staff. It was informative, and it was enlightening to learn about some of the other projects, not just Bouquet Creek Restoration. But I'm excited to hear some of the opportunities that are out there. There's billions of dollars available. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Atkins. Director, Vice President Ozahowski.
I too attended the Delta Conveyance Project update, followed up with some questions with the chief engineer, got really good responses in terms of how they going to move along with the tunneling and how they plan on scheduling this to be done in 12 years or less. Very, very informative. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other AB 1234? Director Ford.
Just a quick one. On the 8th of June, I had a telephone meeting with General Manager Stone, where we discussed items particularly related to water resources. Thanks.
Very good. Thank you. Any other AB 1234s? Seeing none, do we have any public comment, April, on the AB 1234 reports?
We do not.
All right, we can move on to item 11. We will be going into closed session. The public may stay on the Zoom webinar. Any board members or staff that are connected to the Zoom and are in closed session, please disconnect from Zoom. We will be going into closed session to discuss items 11.1, 11.2, and 11.3. Members of the public and any staff may stay on the current line. And once closed session is over, the board will reconnect to Zoom webinar for closed session announcements and the remaining agenda items. We will be taking a 5-minute break to set up for closed session. So looking at my trusty Verizon clock, it's now 6:52. I would ask that the board return for closed session and any members of the staff return in 5 minutes, please. We are now in recess. Very good. Thank you. We are out of closed session and back into open session. We can move to item 12, closed session announcements. Mr. Byrne, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I will report that on item 11.1, that the board voted unanimously to reject the claim of Pumpman LLC and refer the claim to the Aqua JPIA.
Thank you very much. We can now move to item 13, director's request for approval for future agenda items. We do have, Director Bronstein did make a request for a future agenda item. She would like the agency and the board to consider revising the holiday calendar to add a more recent federal holiday, which was Juneteenth. To the holiday schedule. She feels this is an important to promote inclusion and acceptance at the agency. Director Bronstein, if you'd like to add anything to that, feel free to do so.
I mean, I think it's just very self-explanatory.
Okay, very good. We will take it up at agenda planning. Are there any other requests for future? Director Cooper.
Just a quick one. And the EPA this last week put out an announcement about PFAS, and they're looking at a limit of 4 parts per quadrillion. Now, of course, that's way below anything that anybody could even test, but it means that if you have PFAS, they want you to be at 0 with whatever testing you're able to do. So maybe just a report, maybe engineering committee or wherever is appropriate, to talk about that and what it means, that change by the EPA, what it's going to mean to us.
Director?
This doesn't have to be an agenda item, but probably last week you also saw that the appellate court ruled against Monsanto for Roundup. And I think we went through that the agency isn't using Roundup, but they found that the court found that the analysis was incorrect, that there were impacts, and it is carcinogenic. That's what I want to say. So I just want to make sure the agency isn't using it, and we're not, you know, exposing landscapers to it. And I think we went through this before, and found that we weren't, but I just want to make sure that we're not, because now that there's been a finding about this, people are really going to get sued if there's problems.
Okay. Request noted.
Director Atkins.
This is for System Manager Cole. I think it's pretty well known. If there's any significant change in grant funding or any other things that are impacting Bouquet Creek restoration, I'd like to have the board hear it, if that makes sense, please. It doesn't have to happen next meeting, but whenever. Okay. Thank you.
Any other requests for future agenda items? Vice President Ozahasky.
And I'll bring up during the planning meeting our constant request for having a tour of the facilities. I think Director Bronstein, Director Armitage, and Director Colley all wanted to see some parts of the agency. So we'll see if we can make that happen. Thank you. Back to you, President Martin.
Very good. Seeing no further requests, do we have any public comment on item 13?
There is not.
Very good. So we have reached item 14. And before I declare that we are adjourned, please remember the ones that are participating in the next board meeting, please don't leave. And we will begin as soon as possible. With that, we are adjourned from this meeting. This is your meeting, Director Cooper.